Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Chet Amud Aleph. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, 8 lines down from the top. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Mikomot, Bo Chachamim Acharov. 3 places where the Chachamim subscribe to the Rov. Vasam Kevadai. Even though it's the Rov, the underlying assumption is that it became a Vadai. And when we say that Allah Acharov here, we don't even consider it to be a Safek anymore, but a complete Vadai. One of them is Makor, Shilya, and Chaticha. Those are the 3 places. Now, Makor, Hadamran. Makor is what we just said. And to your question, yes, even Midoraita, because we know we had this Shita of Rav Chiya that said that when we look at the dam that's found in the Pruzdor, it's considered so vadai that you be chayav on biat migdash shuktashav, which requires a korban, and we're surfim at the truma. So it's considered a complete vadai here in terms of the tumaat adam, according to depending on which opinion. Obviously, there's Rabbi Chiya's opinion. We modified Rabbi Chiya's opinion based on Abaye or Rav Huna might only apply to Min Elul Ubifnim or to the entire Puzdor. Chiya's statement is made about the entire Puzdor, but then Rav Huna, in order to accord with the machloket between Rabbi Chiya and Rav Katina, said it's really not a machloket. One of them is talking about Min Elul Ubifnim, one of them is talking about Min Elul Vachutz. But at least there's a section where we believe that the damim that come from the Mekor are the rov that come out of the uterus. The blood is the rov that's found in the vaginal canal. And we consider vadai. If we find damim there, we consider it to be vadai and she's tmeya tumat nida. Number 2 is shilya, ditnan, shilya babayit. If you have an afterbirth or the placenta that came out into the house, habayit tame. The underlying assumption is that there was a birth here. There's a birth, you have tumat ol hamet. So that's true whenever you see a shilya. Velosha shilya vlad, not because the placenta or the afterbirth is the vlad, ella, the two are connected. She ain't shilya below vlad. You would never see this type of afterbirth or placenta exit the woman unless there was some sort of vlad that's attached to it. What happened to the vlad is that it was crushed or got dissolved. Whatever happened to the vlad, that it wasn't visible when she discharged the vlad. But the shilya is an indication that there was something in there. And therefore you have tumata mate and tumata olamate.
No, we've come in the house of
the shilya. Here, she has a shilya. She has a discharge of a shilya. And we want to know what happened. Where's the vlad? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimoka vlad, ad shlo yatza. Rabbi Shimon says that the vlad dissolved, disintegrated somehow, and got mixed up with the dam leida, and it's batel berov because of that. But that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. But at least according to the Tanakhama, you have this effect where rov shilyot indicate a vlad, and therefore we see a shilya, we're going to assume that there was a vlad here, and you have tumat amet in this ohel. So that's, even though it's a rov, we're going to treat it like a vadai, that there was a vadai mate here. Chaticha, tetnan, hamapelet yad chatucha v'regel chatucha, someone who discharges a hand or a foot. Here chatucha means formed, cut in the sense that they have distinct fingers or distinct toes in the arm or leg. So then, imot tmeya leida. Then she's classified as being tmei tumat leida, because we're going to assume that a hand or a foot that is formed in that way is an indication on the rov that there was a vlad that was discharged over here. On the other hand, vein choshishin shema miguf atum bat. We don't assume that it came from a tum, meaning closed up guf, a shapeless vlad, because in order for a vlad to be mitameh and to have a status of a leida, it has to have some sort of tzura to it. We're going to get to that in the Gemara later on Chav Dalet, about how much of a tzura or what tzurot are considered to be tmeot. But nevertheless, you have to have some form. So now that we have a hand or a foot that came out that has the fingers or the toes formed on it, we're going to assume that the remainder of the body also had somewhat of a tzura to it. And therefore, it's tameh tumat leida. Not going to assume that this was the only part that was formed and the remainder of the body was shapeless. Here we have 3 times where we assume that based on the rov, that it turns into a vadai. Again, by the makor, by the uterus, where it discharges blood into the vaginal canal, we find blood in the vaginal canal, even though there's a possibility it came from the urinary tract. Nevertheless, since the rov damim comes from the uterus, the underlying assumption is that she is tamei tumat nida vadait. The second case was a shilya, when we find the afterbirth of the placenta, she discharges. We assume that not only did she discharge the shilya, but there was also a vlad in there, and therefore we're going to have tumat ohel. So even though it's al harov, that a shilya is an indication of a vlad, we're going to take that to be a vadai, as if there was for sure or for certain a Vlad born here, and I have Tumata mate. And over here, by the case of the Vlad again, when we find some sort of formation, we also assume there was a birth of a Vlad, which have indications or implications in terms of her being Tamei Tumat Leida, having Dam Leida for Dam Tuma, Dam Teora. What does that mean, that she's Tamei Tumat Leida, is that she'll have to take the Chumrot of a Zachar and a Keva, because she's uncertain as to whether she discharged a male or a female. So we don't know which Leida to give her. So it will be classified as a Leida. Once you classify as a Leida, you'll have to take the Chumrot of a Zachar and a Keva, which means that she will sit for 2 weeks, 14 days of Tuma, and then 26 days of Tahara, because she'll get the lesser of both. Meaning she'll get the higher days of Tuma, which is the Nekeva, 14, and the lesser of the days of Tahara that remain for a Zachar would be up to 40 days. It'd normally be 33 days of Tahara, which is already used up 14 of them, bit Tuma. So what remains for her is 26 days, bit Tahara. That's the way we would treat her in terms of the Chumra, that she'll be Tmeya for a longer time, and the Tahara, days of Tahara, will be a shorter time, because we're uncertain as to what she discharged over here. Are there no other cases in Shas where we treat a rov kivadai? It's the classic case of rov. The classic case of rov is the Tanya. Anywhere you have the sugya of rov, this is the backbone of the sugya. Teisha chaniot, kulan mochrot basar shkuta. 9 kosher busher shops in town. Vachat mochert basar nevela. 1 non-kosher busher shop in town. Lakach me'achat mehen. He purchases meat from one of the shops. Venu yodea mezen lakach. Doesn't remember, recall where he purchased it. Sveiko asur. There he has that sveik, it's asur, because it's kavua. Kavua means you bought it from a fixed place. And when you buy it from a fixed place, it's kemechsa mechsa dami. It's like 50-50. So 50-50 sveik. We're going to go to chumrah and say that you can't eat the meat. We're going to assume you walked into one of the butcher shops and purchased the meat. We don't know which butcher shop it was, so therefore it's this 50-50 shot, because it's kavua, they're in place. Ubenimtza, if you find a piece of meat in that town, then alecha chararu. Since that's what's parush, it separated away from the fixed location, we say, called the parish, miruba parish. Anything that separates away from the grouping, we assume it came from the rove. So over here, if you find a piece of meat outside, the majority of chances are that it came from the 9 kosher butcher shops and not from the 1 non-kosher butcher shop. Nevertheless, what we say here is that you can eat it. If you can eat it, if you can have it, that shows that we're treating it like a vadai. It's not a suffix anymore. We say, alecha charov, and you can eat it. And where it says, tuma kamrinan, isr lo kamrinan. Rabbi Yochanan's statement is about in the world of Tuma, there are 3 places where we treat a rov kevadai. True, in the world of Isur, we have other options or other examples. Where it says, Vayika, even in the world of Tuma, Teshats, Vardiin, Besheret Zechad. Case in the Tosefta where you have 9 frogs and 1 sheretz. Frogs are not one of the 8 shretzim, and therefore they're not Tamei. Whereas you have a Besheret Zechad, which is Tamei. Benayim. But Nagab Echad Mayim, he touched one of them. Out of these 10 creatures over here, he touched one of the 10 creatures. Venu Debez Ven Nagai. He doesn't know which one he touched. So here where they're in their location, then, again, it's kavua, so if it's a fixed place, it's kemechsa mechsa, that means it's a 50-50 shot. Therefore, nagab reshut yachid, sveko tamei. If he touches it in the reshut yachid, it's tamei, because we know when you have a suffix, tuma reshut yachid, tamei. On the other hand, reshut rabim, if he touches it in the reshut rabim, sveko tahor. Because tuma reshut rabim is sveko tahor. So here, the determining factor, it's a 50-50 shot, the determining factor will be location. Reshut HaYachid will be Tamei, we're Machvir Letzad Tum'ah, and if it's in Reshut HaRabim, we'll be Machvir Letzad Tahara, and that we learn out of Sota. Sota, we learn that it has to be Reshut HaYachid, because exclusion only happens in Reshut HaYachid, and that's the place where we have the paradigm of sveko Tamei, whereas Reshut HaRabim, it wouldn't be seclusion, therefore we say over there that it's sveko tahor. Avinimta, in a similar situation where one of these creatures of the 10 moved away from the group, then halacha chara rov. In that case, we'll go after the rov. If he came into contact with it, we'll assume that it was one of the tzvardim, it was one of the frogs, and not a sheretz. So over there again, you see, you have a rov, and we're treating it like a vadai. Wait, what's the... Oh, why does it lose the din of safek, reshut yachid, reshut rabim? Because only when you have a safek do we apply the rules of Reshut HaYachid and Reshut HaRabim. Over here, we say that it was Parish Miruba. It's Parish Miruba, we're treating it like a Vadai. So it's not, we don't have a Safek anymore. The Safek is gone. That's exactly what happens here. The Rov governs, and if the Rov governs, it treats, we don't have a Safek, and therefore we're not governed by the rules of Safek. It's now a Vadai, and therefore, it'll be tehora. Had it been that we were left in a position of safek, then you would have to apply the rules. But here, by the rov, it turns into a vada. You're no longer in the rules of safek anymore when it's parsh. Yeah. But when you're a kavua, then you're in the world of safek, which is mechsa mechsa. In the world of safek, then shutri yachid and shutri rabim are relevant. All right, so then the Gemara says, we'll modify it again and say, Tumat Isha Kamrinan, Tumat Ba'alma Lo Kamrinan. Rav Yochanan's statement is only about Tumat Isha, not about Tumat Ba'alma. So Tumat Ba'alma, you're right, there are other examples. So again, Rov Ba'alma, Isurim, yes, there are other cases. Tumat, there are other cases. I'm talking about in the world of Tumat Isha, these are the only three cases. Va'ika, there is another one. Ha, Da'amar Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. You have the case of Rabbi Shimon Levi later on in Daf Chof Tet. Shimon Levi says, Avran Benar, she crossed through a river, Revit Hipila, and she discharges, she miscarries in the river while she's crossing. Mevia Korban. She has to bring a Korban from that. Benechal, and it's Eden. Halach Achara Rov Nashim, you go after the majority of women. Rov Nashim Vlad Na'aliyo Yeldan. Majority of women give birth to a proper Vlad, a full-fledged fetus. Based on this, you have, it's very interesting. In general, there's only one Korban Chatat that can be brought out as a fake. And that really is a Korban Chatat of a bird. So that comes up with Leida. A woman who gives birth brings an Ola and a Chatat. She can bring two birds as the Korban. And even if it's b'safek, the ola goes entirely on the mizbeach, the chatat can be brought and not eaten. So that's what we do in terms of sfekot. Over here, Rabbi Shimon Levi says it's such a vadai that the kohanim could eat the chatat. Even though we could have brought it without them eating it, they can't eat the chatat. And over here, it'll be chulin bazara, or it'll be melikav chulin, which is not kosher to eat. Nevertheless, we say the kohanim eat it as if it's a vadai, because we assume that rove women who are carrying, we assume when they discharge, or when they have a miscarriage, that they're giving birth to something to be classified as a leida. And based on that rov, we'll assume here that she gave birth, she had a leida. And if she had a leida, then she's chayevet in a korban. So here you have a case of rov that we're treating like a vadai. So vadai, that we're allowing the kohanim to eat the chatat that's being brought, quote-unquote, al safek. So Mar says, matnitan ka'amrinan, shmetet alo ka'amrinan. We only, Rabbi Yochanan is quoting a Mishnayot, Tanaic works. Within Tanaic works, then we say that there are only three examples of rov being treated like vadai. Shmatata, Memrot of Amoraim. Over there you might have other examples, like this example of Yeshua ben Levi. Vaha, Kiat Ravin, Amar, Meiti, Rabbi Yossi, Bar, Rabbi Chanina, Toa, Vleyodana, Maiti Yufte. This has to do with the Gemara later on Chof Tet. So you have to be there to understand it. We'll try to just cover it as best as possible. There's a Mishnah on Daf Chaf Tet Amud Aleph that speaks about a situation in which a woman has a miscarriage or some sort of leida. It says, "B'mapelet v'eni adua mahu." She discharges, has a miscarriage, and she doesn't know what it is. Teshev v'zachar l'nekeva. Then she sits with zachar l'nekeva, which we described before. You have the chumrot of both of them: 2 weeks of tuma, 26 days of tahara. Any adua in vladaya, if there's an additional suffake here, that we don't know if it was a vlad, she discharged, she had a miscarriage, and now the first case was we knew it was a vlad, which is uncertain as to whether it's a zachar nekeva. In the second case, we're not even sure it's a vlad. So the three sfekot, suffake, whether it's a vlad or not a vlad, and even if it is a vlad, is it a zachar nekeva? Right, it's two levels of sfekot, but turn out to be three possibilities. Two sfekot, and then three possibilities. One possibility is no vlad. Possibility of vlad can be bifurcated into zachar and nekeva. So the three possibilities of what the sfekot are, and therefore you have three outcomes here, which is teshev zachar, unekeva, unida. Zachar and nekeva, in case it was a vlad, then you have to do the chumrot of zachar and nekeva. If it wasn't a vlad, then what she's seeing now, the discharge she's having now, is really dam nida. So you have to be shaved on all of them. But what you see from this Mishnah is that when you have a safek, what do we say? Not that it's vaday vlad, we're teshev al demei nida. So that goes against this position of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says when a woman has a discharge, then for sure it's a vlad. He doesn't even entertain the possibility that it's not a vlad or that it's a nida. Over here the Mishnah says, wait a minute, if you have the Mishnah says that there are three possible outcomes. One of those outcomes is that it's demei nida. That's the case. Then the Mishnah is misupak about whether something is a vlad or not. We don't say rov kivadai. So the Gemara here goes through and brings Rabbi Shimon ben Levi right away and then has a number of answers for it. At the end, it's brought down exactly what we have quoted in our Gemara, ki ata rabin, amar meitiv Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, toa, v'yadana, mait yufta. He asks from our Mishnah. This Mishnah is a case of To'ah. And that's the differentiating factor here, which is that the woman over here in the Mishnah knows that she had a discharge, but she's To'ah. She doesn't know when she gave birth. So that's what the safek is over here. The safek over here is that she doesn't know how many days she is away from the birth. Therefore, the damim she's seeing now, she doesn't know what these damim are. She doesn't know if the damim have to do with the zachar, the nekeva, the nida. So that's what the safek here is. The safek is not about what was discharged. The safek about is about now what happened or how far away is she from whatever happened before. So the safek is a different safek. So Kiyat Rabin, Rabin says, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina challenged Rabbi Shua ben Levi from this Mishnah. But he says, I don't know what he's asking. I don't know what he's asking because the cases are different. That Mishnah is talking about a case of To'ah. And this case of Rabbi Shua ben Levi is a case where she knows for sure she discharged. She just doesn't know what she discharged. So that means that if you go to Chavtet, you could explain the Mishnah as being a case where she knew what she discharged. But now she doesn't know where she is in that cycle, or she knew that for sure she had a vlad. She wasn't sure it was Zachar Nekeva. She doesn't know how many days ago it happened. So that what raises the suffix over here about where she is and what transpired. So the cases are completely different. Why is that relevant to us? It's because Rabin says over here that the Mishnah is not a question of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says, my love, lo tiyufta elosiyato. The Mishnah is not a question, but it's even a proof to him. Well, if it's a proof to him, then we now have a Mishnaic work, not an Amora's work, that's saying that when you have a rove, you go after the Vadai. Because we just said we differentiated in Isha, Tumat Isha, between Shemaitata and Mishnah. So if we say that this Mishnah not only does not argue on Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, but it's actually a support for him, then already he would have to say that we have a Mishnaic work that says Rov Kevadai. So Mar says, well, Dilma lo tiyufta lo siyata. Let's just say it's not relevant. The Mishnah is not a proof to him. It's not a disproof to him. It's just not relevant. It's a different case. So if that's the case, then we don't have to worry about the Mishnah. So that's the end of that little piece here. The Gemara was just trying to take the Shemaitah to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and try to bring it back into a Mishnah. Because if they bring it into a Mishnah, then that would be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says in the end, maybe not. Maybe it has no relevance to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. If it has no relevance to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, then there's no question on Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara says, Lemute Mai. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan says three, well, if he says three, that means that there might have been a possibility of some others that he left out. What is it that he left out? If it's coming to exclude a case where you have a rov, and nigga that rov is a chazaka, in that case we will not consider it or classify it like vaday tum'a, in order to be sereif to tum'a, but rather we will say that it is a safek. We already have this member from Rabbi Yochanan. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Tinolka nimta b'sada isa. You have a young child that is next to a piece of dough. Batzek biado. And he's holding a piece of the dough in his hand. Rabbeir mitaher. Rachamim mitamim. Rameir says he's tohor. Rachamim say he's tamei. Shetarko shel tinolk l'tapeach. Because it's the normal way of a child to touch things and get involved and play with the dough. Vamrina. And we tried to explain this. My time with the Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir's position? Kasavar, rov tinokot mitabchim. Majority of tinokot touch. Umiyot ein mitabchim. And a minority of them are not mitabeach. V'isa zu b'chazkat Torah umedet. This isa beforehand was considered to be Torah. It had chazoka being Torah. And we have rov of tinokot that touch, play, come into contact. Therefore, samuch miuta l'chazoka. Take the miut of children that do not have this mitabchim, you put that together with the chazaka, v'itre le'iruba, and it undermines the rov. So now the rov, neged the chazaka, plus the miut, makes it problematic. Whereas, the chachamim say, rabbanon miuta k'manda le'itei dami. When I have rov, rov means k'vadai. Rov means like 100%. Now when I have a rov 100%, the miut is as if it disappears. So the miut doesn't exist anymore. So it's rov versus chazaka. Case of rov of chazaka, ruba of chazaka, ruba adif. You have a question between Rov and Chazaka, Rov wins. So over here, Rov wins because Rov is considered like the Vadai, and there's no Miut to be mitzarif for the Chazaka, and therefore Rov wins over here. V'amarish lakish, mishum Rabbi Hoshaya, zuhi Chazaka shesorfim alei tetruma. This Chazaka is so strong, meaning the Chachamim, it's not a safek tuma, but rather a Vadai tuma. Over here, when Reish Lakish says Chazaka, it doesn't mean like Chazaka versus Rov, it means this Rov creates tuma that is Vadait, and we would be sereif the truma on it. It's a safek. So you see from here already, Rabbi Yochanan already told us that that case of Tumah is a Tumat safek. He doesn't treat it like a vaday. Rabbi Yochanan says over here that when the Chachamim say that the rov wins over Chazaka, it wins enough to make it into a safek. It doesn't win enough to make it into vaday Tumah. So if you say that, then we already know Rabbi Yochanan's position with regards to rov versus Chazaka, and you don't need him to come tell us that there are three things to exclude that case of rov and Chazaka. So he must be that he's coming to exclude another item. What I want to do now is go back. I kind of was sketchy on the details here. And that's because it's Machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam has to explain the case. Rashi says, what's Tahor and what's Tamei, and how did the dough become Tamei? So the way Rashi explains it is that the child, Mitabchim, means that they play around, they touch things. What were they playing around with or touching that made them Tamei? They play around with Shvatzim. The Shvatzim that are found there, that are Tameim, children are curious, they like to touch and play with things. Therefore, our fear is that the child came into contact with the sheretz, and there you know, we have the isa v'yado. So if you put those two together, I have tumah coming to the batzek. The batzek has a cheska tara, tahor beforehand, there was nothing wrong with it. I have a tinok, who is most likely became tamei because they come into contact with shvatzim, and he has the dough in his hand. So I take that rove that they get in contact with the shvatzim and make themselves tamei, and then the isa, so that's how I get the problem. That's what Rashi says the issue is. The miut is that the child didn't touch the sheretz. That's the miut of children. Don't play around the shvatzim and don't become tamei that way. That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says that the vaday part is that the child came in contact with the isa. The question part is whether the child came into contact with tumah. The Rabbeinu Tam says that it's just the opposite. We know for sure that the tinok is tamei. Why? Because it's a young child and young children are cherubic in nature and women love to hug them. So we're going to assume that they're tamei from a nida. They came into a contact with a nida. Since women tend to hug and hold and kiss these children, it is bad that this child's tamei tumat nida or coming into naga maga nida. The only question is, did he touch the isa? The mitapchim here is that they touch. The curious is whether did he come into contact with the isa? He has the batzek in his hand, but we don't know how that batzek got them. Did someone give it to him, or did it come from him touching the dough and he went to grab it from the dough? And that's a safek according to Rabbeinu Tam. So the chazaka again is that the isa's Torah. The rove is that rove children will come and take the isa themselves. They'll take the batzek themselves. They play around and they touch the batzek. So there the question is whether he touched the batzek or not. We're not questioning whether he's tamei. The child is definitely tamei, or the tinoket is definitely tameah. The only question is, did they come into contact with the isa? There's a difference between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. They have a piece of dough in their hand. The question is, how do they get it? Did someone tell her give it to them, or do they go and take it themselves or touch it themselves? Do we assume that this child is active and touches? And we say, oh, rove, children are active, and that's how they got the dough.
The beast that he's holding,
correct.
The question is, what about the dough?
Wait, with the remainder of the isa, that's there, correct. I mean, you see, on their hand, they have pieces of dough or something on their hand. The question is, how did that happen? Did somebody give them the Play-Doh like a little bit to play with, or do they take it themselves? But the advantage of the Rabbeinu Tam is, I think, Tzvi, you asked this, doesn't have to be a case of Isha. So the Rabbeinu Tam's case makes it into a case of Isha because it involves that it's a Nida that made the Tinoket Tamei. So here there's Vaday Tuma and that came from the contact with a Isha Nida. Right, that little advantage of the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation. Now the other thing that Tosfot does, and this is very important, our Gemara makes an assumption or a general statement that when you have a conflict between Rov and Chazaka, Rov wins. So that's the general principle laid out here by the Chachamim. And Rabbi Meir says that the miyut is mitzarif to the chazaka. So that's the principles that we're working with. Is that a general principle? Is that a principle that we apply throughout the Torah kula? So Tosafot over here says, wait a minute. Even the three cases of Rabbi Yochanan also have a chazaka involved. You have a chazaka that the isha is Torah. And then you have a rov, which is undermining it in all these cases, whether it's rov dam that's found in the pruzdor, came from the mekor, rov shilyot have a vlad with them, rov chatuchot come from a full-fledged vlad. So we have a rov that is going up against a chazaka. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? How come in this case he say rov governs over chazaka, and in our cases back there we say rov kivadai, and we ignore the chazaka? Yet in this case, Rabbi Yochanan says we don't ignore the chazaka. When you have rov against chazaka, it leaves it as a suffix. What's different here than those three cases? So Tosfot differentiates in the type or the quality of the chazaka. It says the quality of the chazaka by the woman is not such a great chazaka. Tosfot said this earlier in the Masechta, which is that the chazaka and the robe emanate from the same person or the same point. The woman here has a chezkat tara, but the robe itself is tumah that came from her or emanates from her. So the undermining of the chazaka is coming from the robe that is coming here in itself undermines the chazaka. It's not like in the case here by the child. You have a robe that's independent of the chazaka, and then the two are clashing. Over here by the woman, the chazaka and the robe come from the same person. They're the same individual. And therefore, when we're talking about over here, it's not a real chazaka. And that's how it overcomes it. That's one possibility. The other possibility, and this is what Tosfot says over here, so the other way to differentiate between the cases is to say, by the women, the three cases by the women, that's a rov gamur. Over here, it's not a rov gamur. It's likely, I guess, within the world of rov, you can have something that's 55%, then you can have something that's 85%, 90%. So what he's suggesting is that three cases of Yochanan are things like 85-90% on the rov. Tinokot mitapchim is a lower form of rov. See, the lower form of rov, then when chazaka comes into competition with that, chazaka will have impact and make it into a safek, whereas by the women it doesn't happen that way. So those are the two possibilities. Either there's a difference qualitatively in the rov here, and that's why there's a difference in the chazaka's ability to overcome the rov, or you have to say that there's a difference in the chazaka, the quality of the chazaka over here. All the robes are the same. Whether they're both poor rubot or they're good rubot, Tosfos in the end says that they're all poor, that they're all bad robes. But the quality of the chazaka is different here. The quality of the chazaka by the tinoket is a much better chazaka because it's independent of the question of the robe. By the woman, and all the cases by Rabbi Yochanan, the chazaka and the rov are competing within the same individual. And the tumah that emanates from the woman itself is undermining her chazaka. And therefore, the chazaka is a much weaker chazaka. So you have to do one of those two to explain the difference between the case here and the three cases of Rabbi Yochanan. Right. Although, again, Rabbi Yochanan, when he reads that the Chachamim say miyot kaleka dami, means it still says that the rov and chazaka leave you in a suffix. It's not saying that it leaves you in a position. It's rov versus chazaka, but it's not a stronger rov. You have to do something to differentiate between the three cases of Rabbi Yochanan and this case. And you either have to play with the rov or you have to play with the chazaka. One of the two is different in these cases in order to explain the different outcomes in these cases. The other thing is that over here we have a safek tumah, and you have safek tumah that's b'shut yachid. Safek tumah b'shut yachid, safek tumah b'shut rabim, then we should have the answer to our question. When the chachamim say it's a safek, it should either be tamei if it's b'shut yachid, it should be taor if it's b'shut rabim. That should be the outcome of this case. By the case of tinoket, Tosfot makes another point here, which he says that there's a difference in a din of tumah that emanates from the individual. When do we say that sota is the governing paradigm by tumah? Whether we have safek tumot, that's only when the tumah comes from a magor, from the outside factor. Tumah that emanates from the individual themselves, there's no application of sfeiko tamei b'shut yachid and sfeiko tahor b'shut rabim. So nida, for instance, who's b'safek, there's no din of b'shut yachid b'shut rabim. It's not relevant by that because the tumah emanates from the individual themselves. The only time that the paradigm of sota is relevant is when the tumah comes from the outsider through derech maga. So over here, he wants to suggest, based on that, since the child is davar shein bo dat lishael, or case here by the woman, these rules don't govern because the case is not comparable to the paradigm of sota. Tosfot over here asks, why does Rabbi Meir need the chazaka together with the miyut at all? We know that the position of Rabbi Meir throughout Shas is that he's choshesh la miyuta. Miyuta is strong enough that it makes everything into a safek, at least the safek, and he's choshesh la miyuta. So Tosfot says, ein ochanami. It's true that he doesn't need the chazaka. Even without the chazaka, the miyuta would have been significant. But the Gemara is coming to teach us here that if the chazaka and the rov were together, not opposing as in our case, but rather they were working on the same direction, that would be enough to overcome the miyut. Because when we say Rabbi Meir is choshesh la miyut, that's only when it's a regular minority. If it's a very, very low chance, a very, very low probability, a miyuta, the miyuta, the Gemara calls it, even Rabbi Meir over there says, you ain't choshishin the miyuta. So if you put a robe and a chazaka together, it makes the miyut, or the residual miyut, into something that is so far-fetched, that even Rabbi Meir holds that we will not be choshish for such an item. The way the Ritva phrases it, is that Rabbi Meir believes that a chazaka and a ruba are equal. And therefore, the miut comes over here to machriya litzad tahara. Enochanami, if you're choshesh litzad miut, that would make it into a safek. But over here, Rabbi Meir says it's tahor. Tahor because chazak and rov are equal. And then the miut comes and is machriya litzad tahara. On the other hand, the chachamim will argue and say that the miut are command to leite dami. It's not as if it doesn't exist at all, but rather, they have a position that rov is better than chazaka. We see that in the position of the Chachamim. If you then add miut to the Chazaka, it makes Chazaka and the Rove equal. Chazaka plus miut equals Rove. And that lands you up in the Safek. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, according to the Chachamim. When they say Tameh over here, they don't mean Tameh Vadai, but they rather mean Tameh Mitzada Safek. Because now you're on equal footing. You have a Rove, Neged, a Chazaka plus a miut. So according to them, that only ends you up in equal territory, because the Rove normally beats the Chazaka. So the miut helps the chazaka to equal it out. All right. So now we continue in the Gemara. Gemara says, "Elamute ruba de Rabbi Yehuda." The three cases of Rabbi Yochanan come to exclude the case of rov by Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanan. A mapelet chaticha, woman discharges some piece. Im yeshima dam tmeya. If it has blood with it, then she's considered to be tmeya. Im lav torah. If not, she's classified as being torah. Rabbi Yehuda omer ben kach tmeya. It's irrelevant. She's tmeya no matter what. It has to be one of the four colors of dam that are problematic. It's a Mishnah on tomorrow's daf. Mishnah says there are five colors of blood that are tamei. What happened to the fifth color? Fifth color is black. Red is one of the colors that's mentioned. Black is, as the Gemara says, red shalaka. It's a bad red. It's a red that something went wrong with, so that's how it became black. In cases of dam nida, black is just a derivative of red. So if that's the case, you have four colors of damim that are problematic over here. So the isha here, when there is a discharge of this chaticha, and if there's blood with it, then we assume that she's a nida. We're not assuming it's a leida, because it's a chaticha, there's no vlad over here. If there's dam with it, she's tamei tumat nida. If there's no dam with it, then there is no tumat nida. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says it's irrelevant, ben kachu ben kach shtmeya. She's tamei'ah no matter what, even if it's a chaticha, you have a solid piece coming out, not liquid dam. As long as it has one of the colors, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says, as long as it's one of the colors of the damim, that would otherwise be problematic. Aval sharmine damim, tehora. Any other colors of blood would be fine. Rabbi Yochanan amar, shel arba mine damim, divrei hakol tamei'ah. Everybody agrees, if it's one of those four colors, this chaticha, then everybody gets it's tamei'ah. V'shoshah damim, if it's the colors that are Torah, divrei hakol Torah. It's a case here, it's a case where she discharged, and she doesn't know exactly what came out. So the chaticha that came out is lost. We don't know what came out. So here, she discharged something. We don't know what the color was, because it's not here anymore. So if it had been a color that was one of the four colors that make her into a nida, in Ochanami, everybody would agree, she's a nida. If it's of any of the colors, like yellow and green, that don't make her into nida, nothing to talk about. The problem here is you have a safek, because we don't know what she discharged, because she lost the chaticha. The solid piece that came out, which we're assuming is coagulated blood, that solid piece that came out, what was the color of it? We don't know. We don't have any way to see it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Savar, zil bat the rov chatichot. Rov chatichot shel arba minei damim avyan. On the rov, when you have a discharge of coagulated blood, it's blood from the makor, and it's one of the four colors that are problematic. So we go after the robe and we treat her like a nida. Period. Ben kachu ben kach tmeya. On the other hand, Rabban and Sarvi, zil bat the robe chatichot, lo amrinan. We don't subscribe to the robe. And since we don't subscribe to the robe, over here she's classified as being Torah. So what do you see from this? Rabbi Yehuda says, robe kevadai. He's saying that robe chatichot have a din of tum'ah, and therefore we're going to treat this woman like a vadai nida. We treat her like a vadai nida. Here's an example of a tumat isha, of rov kivadai. And Rabbi Yochanan, who said there are only three cases, which means Rabbi Yochanan does not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rashi says here that Rabbi Yehuda lo azal bataruva lo kivadai meshavit le lishrof ala magai tachuma. That rov, where Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chachamim, that rov is not a rov kivadai. It's a rov to mean litlot, make it into a safek tuma. So he's just saying that he's not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, he's just explaining the position of Rabbi Yehuda. But over there, we don't say rov kivadai, but rather rov makes it into a safek. All right, stop here.